This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Take Talk with you anywhere. On your computer or smartphone, log on to talk1370.com.
A beautiful, beautiful sight.
Stay connected with Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. Welcome to Le Mans weekend. 24 hours just finished up, Mr. Kaiser.
Man, that was awesome. That was awesome. You know, that's the one. Thankfully, there wasn't a lot of racing going on this weekend, but there was a whole lot for that one race.
It was
a cliffhanger there towards the end.
It was great. I mean, at one point, I think last night, it was about halfway through the race when Toyota had their debacle. And you thought they were interviewing guys in the pits and they were saying, I don't know what to think about this race. Everybody was, feeling bad for Toyota. But at that point, we had no idea what was coming after that.
Exactly. And, it's getting that way more and more. And certainly it was heartbroken last year with Toyota rolling up in the last lap and then, going belly up there at the end. But, oh my gosh, what a great series of races or class races going on all weekend.
Well, let me run down what we got. We're going to talk a lot about the 24 Hours of Le Mans because it was amazing, actually. It turned out to be incredible. But we got Oz Negri coming on live tonight, too. So Oz has been on the show a few times, but he's raced Le Mans, and he won Petit Le Mans.
All right, after seeing this, I've got some questions for him after this year's race.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We got Oz Negri coming on about 7:30. We also have Jonathan Green is out at the Red Bull Global Rallycross. And he is going to catch up with Tanner Faust, who won today. So, obviously, Tanner Faust is he's a badass, and he won today. And I think he's still leading the championship with Andretti's team out there in the Red Bull Global Rallycross. So,
is
he's going to be on.
Andretti just cleaning house everywhere? We're talking global. We're talking IndyCar. It's like, what's next?
Yeah, those guys have got it going on, obviously. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun show tonight. But I think I want to jump right into the 24-Hour Le Mans list. I mean, there's a ton of stories. And I don't know, what do you want to start with? There's a million
stories. Start with the whole thing. Thank you, Fox. Was that not awesome? I think there were over 20 hours of Le Mans covered of the 24. And they were awesome. They had the backstories. They had,
I think they got all of it. I think they covered, if you went to the Fox Sports Go app, I think you could get every minute of the 24.
If not, it was darn near it because I bounced around. But it was awesome stuff. I'm really glad that this is drawing attention. I had some friends over that are not necessarily motorsports friends, but they pinged me yesterday morning saying, where should we stand? And I was like, where are you standing? He goes, oh, we're going to Le Mans. I was like, dude,
you're
suck.
Kidding.
Okay, no, you don't suck. Really smart guy, Brad. But I was like, man, anything. Mosley and Strait, you got to go check that out.
Yeah, well, it was great. I probably watched about 16, watched or listened to at least 16 hours of the 24, and I still got my wife's honeydews done because I had headphones good in man. When I was outside good getting man. Stuff done. So, yeah, I got to see a good bit of it.
Great coverage, great racing. I was anxious to see Porsche and Toyota battle, and sure enough, it happened. And, you know, it played out great. You know, some of the others, gosh, the Jordan boys in the Corvette.
Yeah.
That, you know, there was a heartbreak. But, oh, man, Dave Richards has to be dancing tonight with the Aston Martin.
Yeah, with
crowd.
The Aston Martin. Yeah, that was a huge battle, too. I think I want to start with the Toyota story, obviously, because, you know, they brought three cars. They had three bullets in the gun, and you thought, you know, that this is going to be a good shot at taking this thing,
after
taking this trophy.
After what we saw last year, I really thought they would be up there running hard, everybody all together, but, you know, it just didn't happen, unfortunately. You know, it was heartbreak, again, for a lot of it.
Yep, I know. Well, you know, especially, what was it, about halfway through when you had two cars go out in about a 30 or 40 minute span, something like that?
Yeah, well, in the course of 2 hours, all three cars went off track.
Yeah.
For some service. So it was very definitely one of those things that has to be, you know, addressed. Toyota is not going to last doing that. But then, you know, quite honestly, Porsche was out for right at an hour with the car that ultimately won.
Yeah.
But that's where, you know, it's no longer driven as a huge endurance race. It still is. But it's not driven the way it used to be driven as an endurance race. Nowadays, they're pushing lap times faster from the get-go. And so it really is different. We're watching it mature. We're watching the teams mature with their events. We saw a lot of the Continental crew over there. So that was cool.
Yeah, and you know, it's really pretty amazing if you think about it, because only two of the LMP1 cars made it to the finish. I mean, you know, if you think of it that way, because
right.
You had five cars total. Obviously with Audi, that's a big part of this year's story, is that Audi did not, who's just done amazing in WEC and of course in the 24 Hours of Le Mans, Audi not racing. And so we had three Toyotas and two Porsches, and only two of them made it. And of course, if you watch the race, you realize that at one point we really thought that an LMP2 car was going to make an unprecedented thing and win the whole overall.
Right. It's you know, I love the classes getting mixed up like that. It's not so clearly defined anymore. And so, like I said, the Le Mans is, you know, Christmas for sports cars.
Yeah.
Neat seeing them all mixed up together, and anything can happen, and quite often does.
Well, and obviously that is the LMP2 class being way faster than they ever have been. That's another big part of this year's whole story, because the Jackie Chan Racing guys looked like they could potentially win it. I mean, obviously everybody started doing the math. So immediately when the leading Porsche went out, everybody started doing the math going, okay, it looks like they're going to be able to beat them. But, you know, there's so many things that can happen.
Bring out their slide rules, their abacus, their, you know, Ouija boards.
Yeah.
It was everything, I think. It took it all. And the timing really came into play. I mean, just because it really was up to anybody coming into that. You know, we've got a great interview from Brendan Hartley about it. And they were sweating. And even when they got the Porsche out of the garage, they didn't know what was going to happen still.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, so they took the lead with just over an hour left, right? I think it was like an hour and 6 minutes.
Right.
You got to think, if Porsche, the way the weekend had gone for LMP1 cars, they're going, we're not going to count this a win until we literally cross the finish line. I mean, look at Toyota last year.
Oh, yeah.
So nobody's
dancing anymore. Nobody's celebrating. No handshakes, no high fives. In fact, one of the teams explicitly called that out. We will not celebrate until we cross the line.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anybody breaking focus. And so I thought that was cool.
Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and play a couple of these clips, because you can hear the excitement. We've got let's play this first one. This is Brendan Hartley of the Porsche team after winning overall.
Yeah, it's unreal. It was a roller coaster of a race. Obviously, we had a problem early on. We didn't really dream of coming back. We fought so hard, so did the mechanics, to get it back out there. And yeah, it's a moment I'm going to remember forever. The Earl, Timo, and the whole Porsche family. So, yeah, I'm kind of lost for words at the moment, to be honest. I think it's going to sink even more and later. But, yeah, not a scratch on it, mate. That was a proper team effort.
Absolutely fabulous. Well, the car was on the stands for almost an hour. The boys, they were part of this.
100%. They worked their asses off to get the car back out there. I mean, 5 minutes more, it wouldn't have happened. So, yeah, unreal.
Yeah, almost an hour on the stands. Now, we're talking, you know, it's a 24-hour race. And so, you know, as you were saying, anything can go on. But an hour is a lifetime in that race. That means they did some serious work getting everything rolling back together. In fact, I think it was Earl that was in the car that said when it popped, he thought that was the end of the race right there.
Yeah.
These cars, you know, they're so technical. There's so much going on. But, you know, experienced drivers such as Earl, you know, is when they hear a noise like that, they know it's gone. But Earl's respected. I got to deviate just a second there. Earl does a lot of coaching around the world. He's one of the most revered drivers, and he's capable of coaching. That's, you know, we don't always talk about the value of being able to coach. It's like, okay, you might be able to do it well yourself, but can you help somebody else do it better and verbalize it? Well, we've got a guy here in Austin that has been getting coached by Earl Bammer, and that's Will Hardeman with the More Speed team.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And so, you know, we've got a local connection, and it's that asset in being able to coach is huge. So congrats. You know, he's part of the Speed City family if you're in the More Speed team. So way to go. But all around, awesome, awesome, awesome effort by those three guys.
You know, and you think about, you talk about losing an hour, right? You know, it used to be the 24-hour races like this were mostly about being able to get them across the finish line, you know. But in recent years, it's been, it's almost just been like a sprint race for 24 hours. You know, the reliability has become less and less of an issue. And all of a sudden this year, we get a car that has the overall win that did sit in the garage for an hour. So that's a whole story in and of itself.
It is. It's really something else. And, you know, most of the cars, when they go into the garage, it's pretty serious and it's fatal. But, you know, Brendan's right in saying that this crowd, the guys stayed on it and they got it running and they brought it back out again.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we got some more clips. We got a clip from Earl Bammer himself. And of course, in about 15 minutes or so, we got Oz Negri joining us. And we're also going to get Tanner Faust. Jonathan Green is out there in Canada, and he's going to call in with Tanner Faust here in just a few minutes. You're listening to Speed City live from Austin, Texas. Back after a quick break.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever, or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35. Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Join me weekdays for This Morning, America's First News. Hear the stories you'll be talking about and searching for all day as we go beyond the headlines and above the chatter. Weekdays at 5 on Talk 1370.
You have made the right choice. Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City.
There's talking another about guy with some Le Mans history.
Yeah, Mario's done it all, man. So we want to continue to talk about the 24 Hours of Le Mans. Crazy, incredible weekend. And, of course, Porsche taking the overall win, even after a car dropping out and that and the winning car spending an hour in the pits. And I want to jump right in. Let's play this clip from Earl Bamber because you can tell he's emotional. He's talking about his...
And there's a great little story inside this interview I want y'all to listen for, but the excitement and, you know, this is a guy that's cut his teeth. He's grown up looking at sports cars and in particularly looking at the 24 Hours.
Nerve-wracking those last couple of laps, but it's going to be great to wheel it back to Visor. You know, that's what all the boys and girls there work for, us to bring this trophy back year in, year out, and it's an absolute pleasure to bring it back there twice for them. And, you know, and also to win it, a childhood friend, Brendan, I mean, that's incredible.
It's, when did you guys first meet?
When I was 7 years old, we were both 7 and 8, and he taught me how to drive. Can you imagine that?
That is a fabulous story. But when the car was up on the stands, you couldn't ever thought you were going to come back and win this.
No, I was driving at the time when I heard it go bang. I thought it was our race done, you know, but pulled it back to the pits and the guys ripped into it and got it done in under an hour. We got back out and then it was a matter of fighting back to the top five, and then top five became a podium and the podium became a win. And, you know, it's so magical to get the win today, especially for Porsche in that circumstance. I mean, that's purely what endurance racing is all about. I mean, we were counting the seconds and, you know, a few hours out, you know, it looked like it was going to be down to the last lap whether or not we'd pass, you know. So it was incredibly tense in the pit, and we were going flat out all the time, and, you know, it was basically a sprint race. As soon as we got back out there, we had nothing to lose, so we risked it all and got the reward.
Yeah, so how about that? I mean, how cool is that? And you know, the cool thing is Earl has grown up with Brendan, and actually Brendan was who taught Earl to drive. And I just think that is so cool to hear a story dating back that, you know, as kids on carts having a blast. But you're right, that gosh, just the passion, just the excitement. You know, I got to call out one of our friends, another one of the Speed City friends, American Will Owen, and LMP2 rocked it this weekend. Mm-hmm. He personally was responsible for, I think, more passes than anybody else. You know, Albuquerque and DeSandelier on their team, he brought it all the way from 21st. They wrapped up in 5th spot in LMP2. This kid is rocking. He has been charging through. We've been, you know, getting to know him over the past 2 years. Keep an eye on him. Will Owen's coming up.
Yeah, and of course, LMP2 was it was the most crowded class this year than it's been in a while. And of course, Jackie Chan, the team, they won it all in their class with being, what, a minute behind the overall winner?
Right, right. It wasn't much. And that's what I think is cool, is seeing the pace of these cars get so close. Now listen to this lap time. Okay, so we had the Porsche LMP team, ones that won it overall, fastest lap, 24.01. We have to go into the decimals to really explain it. 24.01.14 compared to a 21.01.41.
Yeah, the gap is narrowed dramatically.
It is just nuts. It's
well, also, you know, really, after the LMP1, LMP2 craziness that went on, obviously one of the big stories right up until the end of the race was the GTE Pro class with Corvette and Aston Martin. Man, how awesome was that right down to the wire?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Jordan Taylor was rocking it. And, you know, he's a fun guy. We've had him on quite a bit. But he went through so much in the last few minutes of that. You know, he bumped up against the Aston Martin crowd in the last couple minutes there. And suspicion is that's where he may have cut the front right tire. The first evidence of it was where he was going through and he tried to make a left turn and the car did not change direction. Thankfully, there was an escape road there and he zipped through that, came back in. It was right as he had been stretching out his lead there over Aston Martin. That went up. He was going through. They came back close together. It wasn't evident yet what was going on to the car, but within half a lap, you saw the Aston Martin guys come pass him up and just start stretching it out. It was a tough, you know, couple of laps there for the Taylors.
Well, hey, I just got word. Mr. Jonathan Green has got the winner of today's Global Rallycross, Tanner Faust. And so we're going to go straight out to Mr. Green. He's in Canada for the Red Bull Global Rallycross.
Well, thanks, guys. Yeah, you join us live here in Ottawa, Canada. I'm out of voice at the moment because the man next to me has made me hoarse once again. Tanner Faust has done the business. He got on the podium yesterday, and he's completed Ottawa with a brilliant win here on Sunday, much to the delight of the crowd. The VWs did it again, but tough out there. But Tanner, first of all, congratulations. How have you enjoyed racing in Canada?
Well, Canada is awesome, and I have been lucky enough to race here before in Three Rivers a few times with Rallycross, but it's... You know, they're just race fans here. They've always been race fans, and the word rally means something here. You know, the rally, you know, I used to run Rally America in the U.S., and any events we even had close to Canada, we'd get just floods of Canadians down there spectating and being into it. So I love it when you're in front of an educated group that, you know, that understands the motorsport. They love, they eat, breathe, and sleep motorsports. And, you know, we had a huge crowd. The venue honestly couldn't deal with the number of people that were here, which was great to see, and so many young people, which is always good to see. But the race was great. They built a very tough track, very high-speed track, as you would imagine on an airport, but also very tough on the cars. And it made for some great racing. We had three of the closest finishes within a tenth of a second, each one. You know, one was 200ths of a second, and one was 400ths of a second. I mean, it's just incredible to see that kind of racing.
And anybody who's been watching Rallycross for the last couple of years knows it's been you and your teammate, Scott Speed, going head-to-head. The VWs have dominated, but recently, Steve Arpin, he got a win yesterday, and even now the youngsters like Mitchell De Jong coming in the Honda are really pushing you guys. I know you're enjoying it, but it's getting tougher, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope I'm enjoying it. Just, you know, I've been to every Rallycross, every GRC event in that's ever happened, and from 2010 when we first got the sport started here in the U.S. And it's I love the cars, I love the sport. It's been evolving constantly. The level of the cars is absolutely been growing. I was doing the European series at the same time, and the level of that series has been getting elevated every single year. So worldwide, we're seeing a Rallycross really maturing. Now, from the driver's seat, you learn a lot about the cars that you maybe can't see from the announcer stand. And I'll say that the Ford and the Honda are both very, very good cars. They're both very fast. They have a great balance. And, you know, there are small weaknesses and strengths to all of the cars, including the Volkswagen. But I think, honestly, the strength is our team here. I know that you hear that all the time, but honestly, there's something about having such a professional team. They really treat it like an Indy team. The car you get in it, and it's a pristine race car every time you get in. Right after you gave it to them, an absolute dripping mess of just rock chips and gnarliness, you get back in, you're like, holy crap, it's a race car again. This is awesome. And it just makes your job so much easier. It makes the car easy to drive. But honestly, there are some very, very fast cars out on the field here, all 10 of them. So it should still be a really great championship.
The big news, obviously, now you lead the championship, and we're heading home for you and Andretti Autosport because you're heading to Indianapolis. Got to be excited by that. There's going to be a lot of home fans cheering you guys on. How excited are you about 2017? Because you got a chance to get another championship.
Well, for, you know, it's really home of Andretti, and a lot of the teams here are tied in with IndyCar, of course. So we're going to be right in their home turf. It's going to be very cool. There's so many. Honestly, it's even just cool for all the mechanics here because all their families and all their friends. Racing is a commitment for anybody, not just drivers, but everybody on the team. There's 20 people here on this team that have all given up time with their families a full week, and they do it you know, many, many times a year, 10 times a year. And so this is a chance for them to bring their kids out. I get to meet their kids for the first time. You know, I've been signing posters for their kids for years. And so it's going to be very cool, I think, just because of that vibe, just because just the in each of the teams that are based in Indianapolis, it's going to be a real family affair. So, you know, hopefully we have a good event, and you know, it's still about racing and winning, but hopefully the families get it. They like the competition, and we get to keep our mechanics for a few more years.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Tanner Faust. Congratulations again on a great weekend here in Ottawa, Canada. Oz Negri's coming on the show, an old mate of yours, so give him a shout out.
Yeah, say hi to Oz for me. I haven't seen him in so many years, but man, I've been and watching his career. He's just a super stud. So looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tana. Appreciate it.
All right, Jonathan
Travel
Green.
Travel safe, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. And thanks. Tell Tanner Faust, thanks a lot. And yeah, we'll tell Oz Negri that Tanner says hi. But yeah, man, they've got well, Jonathan's going to try to catch up with us here in a minute. He's trying to finish up down there in are up there, I should say, in Canada.
A?
Yeah, Canada A.
You can't say Canada without saying A.
But yeah, let's look at the schedule because Red Bull Global Rallycross has got Indianapolis coming up next. I think it's July 9th. Yeah, July. And then they got Atlantic City. They got a double in Atlantic City. Man, they go all over because they go from Indianapolis to Atlantic City for a double, a Saturday and a Sunday, and then up to Seattle. That's in September, a double in Seattle, and then they finish up in October in Los Angeles. Man, they've been all over, and Mr. Green has been doing the track commentary for Red Bull Global Rallycross. Right. That's now, why he's not in the studio.
I've got a little bone to pick with Red Bull Rallycross.
Yes, sir.
I really enjoyed when the X Games were coming around, and we got to, you know, have these guys around and hang out in their shops and garages and stuff, and the racing was awesome. Dudes, find your way back over here. Let's come back to Coda and let's get some Rockstar Rallycross partying going on.
That was awesome to have them at the X Games. But yeah, well, there's a few series we keep talking. We want to get back here to Coda.
Well, you know, Graham Rahal said he'd love to come down here. So we got to figure out something to get Graham back to Austin.
All right. Well, guys, well, let's go ahead and take our break a little early because we got Oz Negri coming on after the break. And we are going to talk a little more 24-hour Le Mans with Oz Negri and some more in the rest of the show. You're listening to Speed City live from Austin, back after a quick break.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin. It is now Ravel's Heavy Duty, and they've moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused. But there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at ravelsheavyduty.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
The racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Get breaking news, exclusive contests, and more delivered right to your inbox.
I like knowing things.
Join the Right Choice Club at Talk1370.com and you'll be in the know. Just go to Talk1370.com and click on the Right Choice Club from Talk1370.
The Right Choice.
Thanks for making the right choice.
I don't know where I would get the truth if it weren't for you.
Talk1370.
Hi, Brendan Hartley. This is Speed City.
Brendan Hartley.
He's a bit happy right now.
Yeah. Those guys, let's see. What time is it in Le Mans now? It's about what? It's about 1 a.m., something like that?
It's after midnight. I bet they're still going strong.
Yeah. I was going to say, if they are still awake, they are partying hard right about now. The Porsche team, all the Porsche boys. So, yeah. All right. While we wait for Oz Negri to join us, we're going to talk a little bit more. There was a couple stories like, I want to talk about the fact that Chase Carey started the race.
I was about to say, let's start with the beginning of the race. Chase Carey.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, right?
So I thought that was cool. But, you know, what I really thought was cool is, you know, Chase is looking at other races.
Yeah.
To bring that experience to, you know, glean the best practice from another. I mean, just like we do in business practice, to glean the best parts of other race series and bring them to Formula One.
All right. Well, hey, we just got, the producer said that we've got our guest. We want to welcome back to Speed City Radio, Oz Negri. Oz, welcome back to the show, buddy. I think we just lost him. He had a bad cell connection.
So he'll be back.
We'll get him right back on the show. But yeah, the Chase Carey started the race, man. That's pretty cool. From Liberty Media, in case you don't know, the company that now owns the controlling interest in Formula One started the race for the 24-hour Le Mans for WEC.
But you know, I think it's great. You know, like I said, there's things that you can glean from the different racing bodies, and you know, it's because each one of them is a different personality of race.
Yeah. Well, hey, I think we've got Mr. Negri back on the line. Oz Negri, welcome back to Speed City, man.
Thank you. I'm here.
All right. Well,
congrats. Welcome back. Hey, I got to jump right in. What a great Le Mans this year.
Unbelievable. It was a roller coaster for quite a few teams. And, you know, before the race, just looking at the speed on the P2 cars, I thought that if there's any of the Le Mans races that a P2 car could have finished first overall, it would be this one, and he got close to.
Yeah, absolutely, man. When we looked at those speeds, you thought, you know, this is going to be interesting. I really, when they went ahead and I looked at the clock, I thought, you know what? They've got really, odds were kind of with them, because not only did you have that gap, but mathematically, I know Porsche could always catch them. But, you know, you're also looking at all the things that can happen during a Le Mans race. And obviously, you know, because you've been there, Oz.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and not that could happen. I mean, things were happening with those P1 cars.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think only one P1 car finished, everything else, all the other cars all had problems. So, you know, Le Mans this year, they had a lot better weather than what we had last year. Last year was tough. It was really, really, really tough. And he made for great racing, very hard. I thought, you know, like people were doing qualifying laps since the green flag, which that normally doesn't happen at Le Mans. So it was, to me, heartbreaking to see Jordan Taylor had that having that flat on the last lap. He is a really good friend of mine and the guy that I was really rooting for. So that was, to me, the biggest heartbreak of that race.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I mean, there was some great battling, and I loved, you know, the Vets versus Aston Martins there. And, you know, I was really surprised because of the way it came together there in the last couple of minutes. You know, they had a bump, nothing real crazy, and it was good, clean racing, but they bumped, and I thought he was going to be all right. And then, you know, the front right tire went out, you know, started giving up, and he didn't make the turn and took that exit. Some of that I got to ask you. So here you are, you've been there. I'm sure your stomach's in your throat in those last three laps, and you hear every little squeak and wonder what it's like. I mean, how distracting is that to be compounded by you bumping into somebody?
Yeah, I mean, being at that very end of the race, you really don't have much time to kind of think about, you know, how you're feeling or anything. You are so into it, and I'm pretty sure that was the case for Jordan. You know, you are just thinking that there is a lap or a lap and a half here, and I'm gonna give it my all, and you know, it's all do or die, and you just go for it. You just go for every millimeter that there is available for you. And, yeah, there was a contact, but, you know, that's part of the thing. I mean, you go for it. You really go. I mean, it's only after a 24-hour race, it's a lap and a half, and you've got to go for that. And, you know, that was absolutely awesome. And, I mean, just like I said, I was on the edge of my seat just watching it. And, you know, really, really was hoping for the American team to bring another win back home. But you know, I also think that if you lose a race battling that hard and deep into the race, you can't feel bad. Yeah, okay, you don't win the race, but you know, you were there all the way to the end. So hey, I'm pretty sure.
I'm with you on that. To me, you know, you can go to sleep well that night knowing that you put it all out there rather than wonder, gee, if I had only done this or done that, or, you know, could I have mashed a little harder?
But that's the thing, you know, if you don't leave anything on the table, even if you lose a race, you go back to sleep and you will have a good sleep. You're not going to be wondering, oh, what if I have done this or that. So in a race like that, everybody only remembered P1. Nobody remembers P2, P3, mm-hmm. P4. So really, if you don't win it, it doesn't matter.
Hey, Oz, I got to ask you something. You know, we all get to watch. I've not been to 24-Hour Le Mans. And, of course, I watch it every year. And I think I watch something like 16 hours total or listen to, maybe even a little more. But you having been there, done it, raced it, give us some sense of, you know, the whole thing from getting there to the buildup to how you get sleep between your stints and all that. I mean, it's just got to be an amazing experience, as well as draining and, of course, managing your sleep and all those things. Tell us about that.
It's a crazy week. It's something that I never experienced before. In my case, it was not only going through all that, it was my first time at Le Mans. So there is a huge unknown of things, you know, like you know, how is that going to be? How is this going to be? Yeah, I've watched many times, but you know, you are there and things are happening. Weather's changing. For us, we had to relearn everything from pit stop procedure to yellow flag procedures, yellow zone procedure, things that we are not used to, and we don't do that here in the U.S. So you put that together with all the anxiety and anticipation of doing one of the biggest races in the world, you know, accumulated with just like what you said, it's a mega busy week that starts on Sunday with scrutineering, and then you know, the whole week you're nonstop, and you qualify at 12 o'clock in the evening, you know, which is crazy. And then what time do you go to sleep? And then after that qualifying, your mind is going, you know, 11,000 RPM, so you can't sleep. You've got to sleep to catch up with, you know, your rest. But again, the following day, it starts early. It is just like a rolling snowball that if you don't watch yourself and pace yourself when you get to the race, you're pretty tired already. But I thought, you know, again, just if you watch, I know it's different cars this year and everything, but, you know, just watching today and yesterday, it gave me the sense that we did a pretty good job last year finishing P9. First time for the drivers, first time for the team, we never got anything wrong. We only had a penalty because we had to change the engine and after qualifying, and that was it. I mean, it's very hard for you to recover with the way they run their races, because you know, it's not like here that you can recuperate your lap on a yellow flag or so. So, I, you know, that actually gave me a more sense of yeah, we did pretty good last year. Then when we finished the race last year,
yeah,
you know, I thought, wow, man, you know, I wish we could have done better, or, you know, this or that. But just watching and seeing how many cars had problems and cars that won the race, and, you know, none of the Fesca cars were in contention at the end. I'm talking about the P2 class, obviously.
Yeah.
And you know, it is really a unique race. It doesn't matter. I can be here trying to explain and try to give you the difference between all the races I've done this year. One thing I can tell you is, from all the races I've done in all my career, the only race that I would like to go back once as a spectator is Le Mans.
Yeah,
that says a lot right there.
You know, because it's such a big event. And if you're there competing, you miss 90% of what is the race, as far as for you know, the spectators and everything. Yeah, we go to Daytona. It's all there. It's all in that arena. Le Mans is the whole town. Is the whole, you know, it's crazy. From the driver's parade, you know, and those are memories that you never forget. You know, I was talking to my wife about it. You know, I things that I remember as if it was today, I've been blessed to do that race thanks to, obviously, my good friend John Pugh. And if you ask me, would you want to do it again? Yes. Well, of course, there's a big difference between your first time there and then you go back knowing, already having, all the items out of the way, that you know what's going to be and you know, how it's going to play and so on. So, yeah, for sure.
All right.
It's a mega race.
Next time,
and obviously,
I want to go with Oz.
I watch. Yeah, let's do it. I watch the race now that we are driving our Acura NSX. I watched with my eyes. We're obviously on the GT, and you can see it's just like it is in the WeatherTech series here in the U.S. It is one of the most competitive class. It is the most competitive class.
Yeah,
and I think 8 cars finish in the same lap or something like it. Le Mans, this is pretty tough.
Yeah, so. After 24 hours, yeah, that's pretty competitive.
Now I joke around, yes. But seriously, Oz's description of the spectator experience and the driver connectivity there, I want to go with Oz next time. This could be fun.
It's funny because what makes me think about it is that sometimes last year I left the track to do simple things, just like going to the supermarket to buy, whatever, some stuff that was missing in my cabin. You at the supermarket, you go, you look around, and you see so many fans, and they actually know you. They come to talk to you, but like, how do they know me? I mean, I race in the U.S., you know, and then you drive back to the track and you have to take a different route, and you go by the Danish compound where all the Dane fans are, and you look at that and you go like, this is insane. It's almost like the whole Danish country is there, you know, it's really, 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 really cool. I'm so blessed I've done it, and it's one of the things that I'll never forget, and I hope I can do it again.
You know, I think I heard the number was, they guesstimated almost 300,000 on the venue property. Wow. This year.
Yeah, I heard 270, 280, something like that. Yeah, that's incredible.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing. Hey, Oz, I got to ask you something. We've all talked about Alonso for the past month and the whole Indy adventure for him. Tell me just kind of your mindset. You've been in the Formula world. You've been around the Indy crowd. You've been around the sports cars. What's your perception of what he did as a driver? Give us that insight. We haven't got to have Alonso on since all that happened.
Well, for a driver, all that matters is winning, right? And Alonso is a world champion. Alonso is, in my opinion, is one of the best, if not the best, F1 driver out there. He obviously is not just not finishing races and not winning races. So, you know, he's looking for, different ways of accomplishment as far as satisfaction as a race car driver. So, you know, there was an opportunity to come here in the U.S. and see a different type of environment, a racing environment. And in my mind, you know, where he is now, why not just try that and see if I like it and see if I, you know, if I can do it and I can do it well, it might be an option, right? So he came here, he did what he did, which we all expected, and now he's got his doors open for any team, right?
Yeah.
The one thing that we cannot forget is that, unfortunately, if it comes to IndyCar, there isn't a $20 million contract out there. So, it's pretty, it's heavy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I think that would be the biggest hurdle for him to come this way.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Excellent. But I think you wrapped it up. He's a racer.
Yeah.
He wants to race.
Yeah.
I mean, just look. I mean, even sometimes he's like in the back of the grid and making crazy good passes, which are almost impossible in F1 nowadays with, you know, with the new regulations and everything. So it's, he's a racer. I mean, I really would like to see him on a good F1 team to have another shot for a world championship again. And then, yes, obviously, we need someone like him here with the charisma and the talent to bring here to the U.S. Motor racing.
Yeah, he looked like he was having a blast at Indy. But we just got a little bit of time left, but I want to ask you about what race you got coming up next and what you think of your season so far.
Right. So we have the 6 hours of the Glen in a couple of weeks, and we just came from a two-day test at the VIR, which we improved the car even further. The car is getting a lot better. It's a lot more competitive. Obviously, our sister car with Andy and Kat, they won last race. We were actually running third. We were going for a double podium until two laps to go when we got pushed off a little bit wide and lost a couple of spots and finished fifth. And we are fifth in points. 7 points out of third. So for a new project, a new car, it says a lot. I mean, nothing happens like for free from a day to another. Yeah, we are working very hard at Michael Shank Racing Team, as well as the HPD engineers. Non-stop. As the drivers, we are trying to do the best we can. So I think we've been doing well, and I wouldn't be surprised if we win another few races until the end of the year.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Hey, Oz, you know, last time you were on, we were teasing about, you know, have they given you an Acura? We couldn't find it. You didn't have one.
The NSX,
Coarts had it. We did find it. We found out who's got the keys. It's Graham Rahal. Graham Rahal's putzing around.
It's a nice one.
Yeah. What is with that?
It's a nice one. Listen, right now I could even have a Honda Fit. Anything would do.
Okay, now if you get a Honda Fit, yes, it's Honda, and I appreciate the loyalty, but we're going to rank you below Mr. Alexander Rossi when we asked him what his daily car was, and he said a Silverado pickup.
All right. So can I tell you what my daily car is?
Yeah, let's get an update.
It's my daughter's Mini Cooper.
Ah, there you go.
Hey, those are fun.
Hey, yeah, kidding. I'll take that. That's
I actually got rear-ended in my car, and it was a total loss. So I'm carless. So more than any time, I need a car right now.
Okay, I'm glad you're fine, but I find it a little humorous that the tables are turned. How many times has she asked you for the keys to your car, and now you're having to ask her for hers?
Yeah, you know, it is tough sometimes. We have to fight for it. Whoever gets to it first.
Well, Oz Negri, thank you so much for joining us and talking about Le Mans and everything. We really appreciate it because it's been an amazing weekend again. And thank you for coming on and giving us your perspective.
Hey, and be sure and get on the podium at the Glen so you can come back on.
There you go.
Let's do that, man. Let's do that. I'm so hungry for it.
All righty. Travel safe, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Oz.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, it's fun to have Oz Negri on the show. Obviously, a guy who's been there and done that at Le Mans and everywhere else.
So. Yeah, Le Mans, Daytona winner. He's played in the Indy Lights. He's done Formula Cars. He's done all different kinds of stuff. And, you know, he's really just one of the most open, conversive drivers that you can find with quality material. He's not just talking to hear himself talk.
No, yeah. He's been a highly successful race driver. So, all right, guys, let's take a break. You're listening to Speed City, and we will be back after these quick messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
We know Austin traffic can be a challenge.
Come on, I can drive and take you that gap. Put your foot on the gas and move it.
Beat the commute with Time Saver Traffic. Mornings and afternoons on Talk 1370, the right choice.
Here, when you need us, Talk 1370 is the right choice.
My name is Christina Nelson, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City.
Yeah, we're not going to talk too much about Christina this time, but man, she's been rocking it all the time. But she, her team had some tough battles, but we'll just pass that along later.
Hey, you said you went to Ducati Austin, one of our sponsors. Obviously, Ducati and MotoGP having a fantastic run lately.
Big smiles all around for this season. Everybody's loving it.
Mark and Vito and the boys and girls over there.
Yeah, all the crowd. And, you know, there's always cool stuff going on. I got to say that they're starting to get in some of the different line of the Ducati Scrambler. And we'll put a picture of it out there. But they've got this beautiful black Ducati Scrambler. It's got the clip-ons on the front. You know, it's just wicked all over. And it's like, okay, this looks like a very cool vintage cafe bike. out of the Scrambler.
Yeah, and they're, you know, they're really so light. Cool. How much do those things weigh? Are they under 400? Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
380 and or something like that?
But it's a great bike. This one I just really like the looks of it. I see just really a lot of nostalgic Ducati race inspired. Yeah. You know, stuff on that one. So definitely check that one out. It's one of the limited bikes.
I just don't like to go over there because I'll sit there and go, oh, yeah, that would be awesome. And then I turn the corner and look at the Diavel and then
if you haven't been in Ducati Austin recently, they're doing a whole makeover of that place. They have grown so much. They've cleared out to make more room for bikes. They are getting one of the best in-stock fleets of Ducatis
in the country, probably.
I think you'll find just about anywhere. I have not been in a Ducati shop that has that many brand new and used bikes sitting there ready for you to cash out on and go play.
You know, it's only appropriate, really, if you think about it, because with MotoGP, the only stop in North America here is right here in Austin. It's appropriate that the best Ducati dealer, one of them in the country, if not the best, is right here in Austin. Hey, you know what? I want to talk a couple more Le Mans stories, and one of them is hilarious. And let me make sure I get his name right. Eduardo Freitas. He's the race director, right, at WEC. And did you hear him when the guys came back on the track? What was it? I guess it was the Ford GT when they spun and they went in the gravel and they must have picked up like 50 pounds of rocks. Because yeah. he came back
you're not
on the track.
Make friends that way.
Well, when he came back on the track, you know, the story was that he was trying to test and see if the rear tires were, if there was something wrong with the suspension, but he was weaving back and forth and he looked like he was throwing rocks about 100 feet circle behind the car. And so the race director comes on and says, could you please stop throwing rocks on the track? And it was like, I thought it was so perfect for that. It was a Father's Day.
Office.
Well, yeah, because it was just like my dad should say, could you please stop dragging mud through the house? You know, it was that very condescending. It was, but apparently this guy is just known for that. It was totally hilarious. It was a great story. It went all over Twitter, but that was last night about hour 12, I think.
I think I just heard your father, son, why are all four shocks blown out on your car?
Yeah, that's a true story.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dad, I don't know. Our car's not supposed to be airborne. Are the shocks I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen the guys on Dukes of Hazzard do it. They do it all the time. Hey, a couple more stories. We only got a minute or so left here. I saw a headline. It says Jackie Chan compares winning Le Mans to receiving his Oscar. How cool is that?
Nice.
Yeah.
Tells you a whole lot more about him right there.
Yeah. He's definitely a car guy. Because that's it. I mean, obviously, they had a fantastic weekend. And they were leading the race with, 70 minutes, an hour and 10 minutes to go. And did you see them in the garages when they got passed by the Porsche team? They were smiling and they knew it was inevitable. Obviously, by that point, you know, they were watching them come up.
Yeah, they've been doing the math on all of that all the way through. And, you know, that's one thing is they've got so much telemetry. They know exactly the timing that's going on. You know, some of their team members' job is actually to watch the other teams and see what's going on there. So they've got a good idea of what's going on. And so, you know, if you remember one of the races here at COTA, I agreed to be sequestered by the Porsche team because they were about to roll out some changes and they didn't want the news to make it out of the commentating booth before it happened.
Yeah. All right. We just got a little bit, just a few seconds left. But one of the things that I wanted to read is a Toyota driver, Kami Kobayashi, said that it was just one of the most bitter defeats. And Toyota, the whole team is saying it's worse than last year. And you remember last year, you know, with no time left.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. Toyota is just snake bit right now. You got to feel bad for them. All right, guys, we got to wrap it up. Thanks for tuning into Speed City. Check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We send out lots of content all week long. Thanks, Mr. Jonathan Green. Sorry you couldn't back on the show. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.